right, and welcome to Fast Break Breakfast NBA Podcast. My name is Keith, here once again with my buddies Chuck and John.
Hey now.
Hello, fellas.
John, you're not wearing heat gear as far as
not
I can
wearing heat
tell.
Gear.
You're wearing a 80s throwback, did I say Aruba?
Arriba Santana.
Oh, okay.
Tito Santana shirt.
Oh, I thought
he was... is wearing a purple and pink shirt with the sun, but it is not a Miami Heat.
No.
Vice Knight.
What
is it called?
Right.
Vice Knight?
Vice
something?
City? I don't know.
It's not Vice
They're
City.
They're my team, but I don't know what they call that.
Vice it's, City, baby. Come on.
It is Vice City.
The Josh Richardson Revolution.
The Richard Slow duo. We got a baby here, too.
Baby is here once again.
Doris Burke up in it.
Fifth or sixth consecutive podcast.
Julie Andrews.
While holding Jules Verne. I've been doing interviews now, too. I've been going on other people's shows like, oh, yeah, I'll do your show, but I'm going to hold a baby. It might go badly. So far, it's worked out fine.
Whoa.
So far, it's worked out fine. Because we have, when we record our show, you know, as Chuck
Doris
and John
is
know.
Doris holding the talking, mic for us.
I'm not talking to the listeners. We go until she can't take it. And then I hit stop on the recording, and then come back, and it's like, all right, where were we? Let's pick it up there.
What is great is that she has no interest in the microphone until we start recording, and then she won't stop grabbing the mic.
She just grabs the microphone cover.
The caterpillar that is Keith's mustache gracing the pop filter, and then she says, oh, I want some of that.
Right. But anyway, enough family and baby talk. That isn't why people listen.
You crazy? They love our dad stuff.
Might no, be. Guys, you know why people listen to NBA podcasts.
Yeah,
they want to hear about the OC, KOC, and Gonzo's OCD about people's Twitter accounts and Joel Embiid's face.
I don't even know what voice is this.
There's far too many OCD.
Have you ever listened to the Ringer podcast? It's amazing. It's like listening to an old like Philadelphia Jew and like a Valley girl talk about basketball, and I can't get enough of it.
Oh, I actually have never.
It is the opposite of what you expect.
This is the only NBA podcast I listen to.
I try to poke around a little bit. I think my favorite still, I love Andre the Siri Giant, Nate Duncan.
Oh, yeah.
I can't get enough
Can
of
we
that
get a
guy.
Little Nate Duncan?
No, we're good. Let's do breakfast.
Later what do I do? In the show, we'll talk about stats and maybe sexual orientation for a while. Goodbye.
It's my favorite.
It is funny when you only listen to the Dunked On at 2x double speed.
Oh, see, you don't even know.
When you go back to regular speed, you're like, oh.
No,
wow.
You at a regular speed, you go down in the sunken place.
Yeah, it really is. It's like, why? I'm not even seeing very well. Anyway, what did you guys have for breakfast?
I went for a run today.
Ooh-wee.
Oh,
mile and a half.
Whoa.
Trying to change my lifestyle a little bit.
Someone change.
So I had a protein shake.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to my world.
It's excessive.
It's weird, isn't it?
Whey protein.
How long do you have to stir yours before you can even drink it?
55 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, and you're still getting large clumps of
or an immersion
you're
blender.
You're an American. You have all the protein you'll ever need.
You're right. I don't need to eat probably for 3 weeks. I could probably survive.
Don't listen to him, Chuck. Protein drinks are great.
Yeah, they are. I'm gonna poop something fierce later tonight. I can just feel it in my guts. But.
Protein drinks allow me to not eat whatever nightmare fuel I was going to eat out of rage later that day. Where like my craving is like, you know what? The only thing in the world that will make me feel better right now is two fried chicken biscuits.
Mm. Oh. Yeah, it's like methadone.
A protein drink will save you from that.
Methadone for a breakfast burrito.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get it.
If you want to stop having it, what was the burrito you filmed recently that I'm going to put
It was the Eggnormous.
Oh, the Eggnormous.
Burger King Eggnormous burrito.
Woo!
Man.
That was so funny.
And I did a review of it. The video came out awful because the sound was trash, but it was... It was probably 4 pounds.
I will post a video of you ordering it.
It's so good. It was really, really good.
Anytime
I'll
you
never...
say the branded name of a food object,
yeah,
I feel like you're, I don't know, you're embracing
Eggnormous.
Something. I would like one Eggnormous burrito. Because I feel like most people try to, they somehow feel it isn't cool to say the name of that. I feel like most people be like, oh yeah, I'll take the egg burrito.
Mm-hmm.
Or something like they'll come up with the more casual, but
no.
You got to embrace. If they've trademarked that puppy, you got to respect that.
Someone on Madison Avenue spent months coming up with the name of that burrito, and I would be, you know, as someone who's in the food industry, remiss if I didn't use that branding.
Absolutely. When are we going to start naming the foods at your food truck things like Eggnormous Burrito.
No, I want all
sick and tired of
NBA basketball.
I am very disappointed at the bar you work.
I know.
You guys have revamped your food menu.
I know.
Renamed everything.
All the drinks are new.
No NBA names.
I want an NBA NBA menu.
Why can't we cross over podcast bar?
Hit us up on Twitter at Fast Break Break with your favorite food NBA food names, and maybe I can work it out.
Do you at least have the Dwayne bacon?
I don't do bacon and eggs on the try. It's kind of hard.
The Dwayne
really? It's all
lardons.
the Nikola Jokic,
some John Wall,
the Jokic
off-season lardons.
No, none of these things exist yet, but we'll get there.
Walleye salmon.
I need a walleye. Is walleye salmon? No, walleye's its own fish, right?
I don't know.
Is it
walleye? We're all God's children. We're all just fish on Noah's Ark. Did he put fish on the ark?
Would he have needed to?
How did he save those fish?
The fish didn't need saved.
Yeah, they didn't need to be saved.
No.
What about the freshwater fish? Do they need to be saved? Oh, my God.
Was it the saltwater? Who had the most issue?
Which fish needed to be saved?
Well, if it rained 40 days and 40 nights.
There was
but
a...
But was it,
and it was
rain?
It was freshwater.
Freshwater rain?
It probably freshwater.
But was the rain... Did it come up from the...
Who took care of the poop on that boat? That's my question.
That's like a Winnebago you've been on too long.
You don't know it. Noah delegated that.
The longest...
One of his sons. His hand's dirty.
Theory of relativity included silence. Longest silence of my life was after my girlfriend's mother told us one time that she believed that Noah's Ark really happened.
I mean, there's...
And we just waited for my girlfriend. We just didn't know what to say.
Joe Kim Noah's Ark.
So it was like 15 seconds, but it felt like... I don't know. It felt like we were on DMT.
Well, I don't want to get all Joe Rogan-y up in here. But yeah. There's multiple origin stories
and
different cultures of a great flood.
I remember
we're walking around on a turtle. Sometimes I believe.
Well, I remember deep in my evangelical days having these discussions. Like,
right,
like people don't believe. Do you believe it literally? Okay, that's fine. And then someone being like, I remember someone telling me in college, like we know for a fact that Noah's Ark literally happened because every other culture also has a flood story.
Right.
And I'm like, wait, that doesn't, wait, I'm, that's cool. Okay.
Cool, man.
That's cool.
Yeah, we'll just stop.
Even young Doris interjects at the notion of a giant boat with every animal on it except for unicorns.
Anyway.
900.
No, we've left behind the unicorns.
And no raptors.
Right.
My breakfast was not exciting. It was a few goldfish crackers.
Ooh.
And however, kind of a fancy, not fancy. When I say fancy, that was an air quotes fancy. A flavored coffee, a Dunkin' Donuts cinnamon roll flavored coffee.
Oh.
Actually, was great.
Are you sure?
Was not overpowering. Hmm. Just had some lovely notes of like a little leftover cinnamon roll in there. I'm worried it might have spoiled me because I have gone like all black coffee all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm worried I can't go back because it was that sweet tooth.
They say once you go cinnamon roll flavored, you cannot go back. My story is the inverse of yours. I had physical therapy again today, and I get so incredibly distressed about going to physical therapy that I try to do really amazing things beforehand, or what in my morbid life are amazing things. So I went to the haughty coffee shop near my house and decided to treat myself some really nice breakfast. And I was going to do like, I don't know, bagel and lox, you know, something to treat myself. But I saw something that appealed to me that I thought would be kind of a savory and sweet treat, a pistachio almond tart.
Okay, all right.
But unfortunately, Keith, this would have worked out for you. There was no savory, only sweet.
Mm.
And it was painfully sweet.
Okay.
And it was like...
cloyingly sweet?
I would say so. It was like... And it was, you couldn't even cut it with a fork. You had to cut it with a fork and knife. It was like...
That isn't a tart, then.
No. I mean, and it was cold in the center.
Tarts should have a tartness.
I wanted more stash.
I get it.
You
like
more
that
show.
You want a stash bash.
Yeah.
I get it.
I can't not order pistachio thing.
The
pistachio.
The pistachio bros.
Mm.
Does that work for the old stash bros?
Yeah, we
the pistachio bros.
The pistachio bros.
With a picture of Enos.
Is this Clay and Steven?
No, oh, no, it was Steven and
they
Enos.
Were the stash bros.
They were the stash brothers.
Forgot about
the
that.
The pistachio bros.
Before
we could workshop that. I feel like there's a nugget of good.
The pistachio bros. I get that. It's like pistachio, but with bro.
Kyle Kuzma's beautiful almond eyes in there.
He's still my NBA favorite.
That's great.
You can get it.
Well, those were our
breakfast. Joel Embiid's got them almond eyes, almond-shaped eyes. Well, he did. Now one has been dislocated.
The Fultz
by the cursed shoulder of the Fultz shoulder.
What would you do? I mean, at this point, would you rather like buy like a golden box from a creepy like antique shop that might unlock the horrors of Hellraiser? Or mess around with Markelle Fultz's shoulder? Because it's getting pretty one or the other for me.
I don't know.
That's an accursed relic.
I still think we might need a couple more bits of evidence before we raise it over this Hellraiser box you're referring to.
Speaking of Hellraiser, and Markelle Fultz just destroyed Damian Lee. Do you see that one?
Oh, no,
that
I haven't.
Dunk?
When he dunks, it is kind of shocking.
He's kind of aggressive.
You're not really ready.
You're not ready.
He's got that explosiveness.
He is.
Just ask Joel.
Anyway, those were our breakfast. After our breakfast, we move to our breakfast in bed apologies. This is our chance to make right what we might have gotten wrong on any previous episode. Does anyone have anything they need to apologize
for? I was wrong all year. I checked out at the beginning of the season. I said to myself, Warriors lock. Nobody's going to beat them. Look at that team. They're incredible. Top to bottom, they added depth. They added JaVale McGee's there. They
excellent
got
point.
Zaza, he's there. Pat McCaw looked good, R.I.P.
R.I.P. McCaw.
Omri Caspi for nothing.
Omri Caspi for nothing.
We thought that was a...
He's terrible.
Oh, good.
while we're also, you know, probably laughing at that, he's probably a six-man on the Grizzlies right now. He's probably the best player on the Grizzlies.
I thought Omri Caspi was good.
We used to think Omri Caspi was good, but I assume he's probably
going
to get cut so they can keep Quinn Cook for the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
But I just...
don't like him anymore?
I just auto-simmed to the end of the season in my brain when we started. Checked out, said, hey, this isn't even going to be a fun NBA year.
Oh.
And I think the old Rocketeers, they're looking serious.
He's finally come along.
I just don't think, with all the injuries in Golden State, that it's anything close to a lock. And I had a nightmare last night.
Uh-oh.
That the Warriors beat, well, the Warriors lost to the Rockets. The Cavs made it to the finals. And guess who won? LeBronica.
Oh.
And he just destroyed, because it would be the Rockets' first time in a meaningful game or a meaningful finals ever since, whatever, Olajuwon. And LeBron's just going to play with them and tear them apart.
Nah.
And CP3 and Harden are going to choke. And LeBron's going to win. He's going to have more rings than Wade. And him trading Wade, and my, you know, prophecy will have come true. That is the reason he traded Wade, is so that he'll have more rings than Dwayne Wade.
If Steph doesn't play in the first round, which he's not apparently going to play in the first round, like if they'd matched up with the Jazz, we're just shooing them in. It seems unlikely the Jazz are going to end up in the eight spot, but it's certainly a possibility.
Right.
I feel like everyone's being like, oh, yeah, they'll be totally fine. Like, the Jazz have been awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And I know most of their guys haven't experienced that much of playoff winning, even though, you know, they did win the series last year against the Clippers. Like, are we going ahead and penciling in the Warriors to the second round, even
without
Steph?
There's no way any team with Kevin Durant on it is going to lose in the first round to a seven seed.
What if, Draymond hasn't looked that great. I mean, he's for his level,
right.
You know.
Right. I just, there's no, even
the bench hasn't been bringing it.
Durant at 80% will beat the Jazz by himself.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think he'll be playing the Jazz.
No. I think the Jazz are the best chance. I don't think there's any way a Timberwolves gives them a scare or a Pelicans gives them any form of
a scare.
The
Timberwolves with Jimmy Butler have been good against them, but Jimmy Butler's coming off injury, and I don't think the Timberwolves are going to make the playoffs.
it's possible.
They're going to.
Big Cat.
I don't know. We'll see.
Incredible.
there were
a crazy line last.
We'll let that be a grim augury for the rest of the show.
Yeah. Well, my apology is to, I guess, Dave Yeager. I talk about Dave Yeager a lot.
You don't need to apologize to Dave Yeager.
I enjoy talking about him. Well, I will say
Dave Yeager's players need to apologize to Dave Yeager, because have you seen the way they look at him when he tells them what to do? It is shameful.
Well, he has to get some credit if you are okay with them winning games. Because the Kings...
De'Aaron Fox clutch gene?
Are a bit... They win clutch basketball games. And as it was pointed out in our Patreon-only Slack chat, the Kings have won 8 games in just the very final seconds on game-winning shots between De'Aaron Fox and Bogdan Bogdanović, which if they hadn't won these games, and these were all 7 of them were legitimate. If the shot misses, they lose.
Yeah.
One of them was against the Heat, was like, they're still up 1. So that doesn't really count, but there's 7 of them. And that would take the Kings all the way from 26 wins down to 19, which would have them tied, you know, for the worst record in the top of the lottery standings.
You're not counting. I've seen 2 separate times De'Aaron Fox send games to overtime.
Well, De'Aaron Fox is shooting. I actually tried to find the stat and I couldn't find it, but something like, I think he's 5 out of 7 on shots in the last 5 seconds.
Same shot every time.
Yeah.
That floater.
Little hesitation and then a floater, like a blow by.
I'm trying to remember a player who I've watched who is so amazing in the clutch, but pretty much useless.
He's not great and terrible at
every other moment.
Not great yet.
Yeah, I mean, he could still become something, and it's very fun to watch like him and Bogey play together. But it reminds me, and I hate to do this, but it reminds me of like DeSean Jackson, where he scares me, but I'm like, he's not very good. It's just scary. He might hit you for a deep shot, but he's just scary. He's not very good.
And so,
but do you want to punt to him at the end of a game?
Never.
No.
So I do think Jaeger gets some credit. Kings winning close games, which is a carryover. Again, we gave the Grizzlies core four all the credit for their close game success, but it has followed Dave Jaeger. I don't know if it's just Dave Jaeger, but...
Well, guess who else followed Dave Jaeger?
Oh, it's all
Zach
Zebo,
Randolph,
baby.
And Vince Sanity.
It's all Zebo.
I guess I'll just apologize to Markelle Fultz. I'm sorry I was ever happy for you. You have ruined this Sixers story we were all enjoying. Their ascendancy up the ranks is... suddenly halted, at least temporarily. They were probably going to overtake the Cavs for the 3rd spot. Ben Simmons has been amazing, and they keep winning, but it definitely kind of takes the edge off the Sixers saga for now.
If Ben Simmons keeps playing as well as he has and the supporting cast keeps doing it, I think they can still catch the Cavs because their schedule is still so easy.
Right.
How in the world did the Sixers not have to play like anyone in their last 18 games or 20 games or something?
I'm not sure, but they're humming along. I think they've won 10 games in a row.
10 in a row. They look awesome. They look super enjoyable. I actually went back and watched the game against the Hornets this morning just because I hadn't seen Markelle Fultz play. I missed his first game.
Right.
And I just wanted to see him do it. And I liked what I saw. But
you should.
They are definitely rolling along.
But it's weird because the entire top half of the Eastern Conference is smoking hot.
Do we think the Sixers, as good as they've looked, are they going to be able to take care of business and advance in the playoffs despite having no playoff experience pretty much on the roster?
I mean, so much hinges on that injury and how cool Joel Embiid's Phantom of the Opera mask is.
I hope it's very cool.
I want it to be
opaque.
Yeah.
I'm just hoping for that first round Miami-Cleveland because we all know. We all know that LeBron just can't play in Miami if he's not in a uniform with the Heat on it.
LeBron has been terrible against the Heat.
He cannot beat us. And Wade's in his head.
Cavs are 8-2 in their last 10. Starting to play kind of well.
Yeah, they're coming together.
Well, I think their defense is up to like 19th in the month of March, which is totally average and acceptable.
Kevin Love, defensive linchpin, words I never thought I would say.
All right, well, those were our breakfast in bed apologies. Before we move to our steak and eggs best thing, we have some listener-submitted questions. Questions from our Patreon supporters, the Croissant Questionnaire.
Any questions?
Yes. Are you going to finish that croissant?
Knock yourself out.
At Tixie Mista asks, is Quinn Snyder a top 5 coach? What does he do specifically to shape this behemoth? They're 21-2 in their last 23.
Got
boys.
The best murder face in the NBA.
Oh, definitely.
Quinn Snyder murder face.
Some of the best hair.
It looks like John's hair.
So beautiful, lush.
It's one of the nicest things you've ever said about John. That 21-2, I believe, is dated from whenever this question was submitted. But they do still have the best net rating, the Jazz do, since March 1st. They've won 14 of their last 15 on the road. So is he a top five coach?
I mean, we've got four that I wouldn't even argue would be worse than him. We got Pop. We got Kerr. We got Stevens. We've got Spoelstra.
Please don't say Dwayne Casey. Please don't. I mean, I don't think he's a top five coach.
No way.
Because you just named that are arguably as good or better than him. And he's kind of doing that Ettore, Messina, Loggins and Messina, CSKA, Moscow thing. Who knows how long that will work.
What does that mean?
Oh, he does the EuroLeague stuff.
Oh, okay.
Well, he coached at Cisca. Cheska? Did I say Cheska?
I don't know. CSKA Moscow.
Yeah. Right.
Under Ettore Messina, who's now with the Spurs, I believe. So this is kind of a coaching fad going around. Mm-hmm. And then he happens to have the now, and I want to talk about this later, how all the award races have completely exploded mm-hmm. and now are decided. He has Rudy Gobert, who's the Defensive Player of the Year
yeah.
in any sane person's eyes. But I don't think a year of doing this is going to make him a top five coach when you have these other coaches you can look at. Am I a fan? Absolutely.
Yeah, I think he's a good
coach. Can I put him in the top five already? I think that's premature.
No.
I'll go the other way just from the stats I stated. I'll say yes, he's right at the top five. I give you Popovich. I give you Brad Stevens. I used to say Rick Carlisle. If you assume...
Masterful tanking warlock.
If you assume they have purposely been losing all their games this year, fine. Mm-hmm. And maybe some last year, fine. Rick Carlisle's still in there. And then I think Eric Spoelstra. If Quinn Snyder was the coach of the Warriors, would he do just as good as Steve Kerr? I don't know the answer, but yeah. I don't feel like it's a slam dunk. Like, would Steve Kerr be doing as well with Utah's roster? I'm really impressed with what Utah has done this year. And so I would definitely consider it.
It's going to be very hard for me to give a guy who is the sixth in the West... that status over guys who have won Coach of the Year already.
But D'Antoni has to be a top five coach, right?
No. I don't think D'Antoni's a top five coach.
How is he not?
I think we're talking Coach of the Year for this season.
For this season.
Well,
yes.
I don't know. Yeah, okay.
That could be an argument.
Say. Yeah, and Quinn Snyder could just end up being like Mike D'Antoni, a guy who did a system that worked for a little while. So I really can't put him in
there. Well, sorry.
D'Antoni to me is right now, that's the correlative person
yeah.
to him.
Well, I think Quinn Snyder has had this success previously, and it's obviously all tied to Gobert. Were the second half of the season, was it 2 years ago, 3 years ago?
Yeah, I don't know if you actually can say Quinn Snyder's had this success
incredible.
Previously. As so much as like, this may be another situation with the Steve Nash or D'Antoni.
Right.
This could be Gobert or Quinn Snyder.
Right.
So I'm just I really like Quinn Snyder. I love his angry little bitch face.
That face is incredible.
We've been like him much more than Dwayne Casey, as you might have surmised from listening to this, but I can't even give him the nod over Dwayne Casey this year.
Yep.
So
let's go to the next question.
Not fair.
Feeling Minnesota asks, let me clear my throat for this one. Should the Grizzlies end up in draft position to select Luka Doncic? Should their next move be throwing an old dog a bone and hiring David Kahn as president of basketball operations? This will allow him to fulfill his dream of creating a playoff contending cream team.
And I'm thinking cream team, looking ahead on the question. It means like a whiteout.
Right.
That's the PC term.
Moves Feeling Minnesota suggests that Kahn would make include, say, trading Conley for Ricky Rubio or Joe Ingles.
Do it.
Signing Jimmer Fredette away from the Shanghai Sharks.
Oh, that's stupid.
Coercing Darko Milicic out of retirement.
It would make the team whiter.
And finally, in a very Kanyan move, bringing Alexei Shved back to the NBA.
God.
Well, the downside of this question is I feel like he has answered it.
I don't think we're in a political climate that we can do this sort of maneuvering for any reason at all. Especially in the city of Memphis.
Can we make a cream team? Can we make a cream team that's good? Let's make a cream team that's good.
That's his question. If you have Doncic,
right.
You have Gasol, you have the great white whale. That's right, white whale.
White whale.
Of Chandler Parsons healthy.
Easy. Right. Okay, so we gotta move Conley.
So we gotta move Conley. Bring over Shved or another EuroLeague baller.
I don't want any of these EuroLeague ballers.
Kalathis.
Oh, damn it. He's done it. He's gone Greek. But we can move Conley.
Taya Dosic.
We need a creamy or at the very worst swarthy point man.
We can do a little trade. I think Miami could use Conley. We get
for
a little
Tyler Johnson.
We get a little
Goran
Tyler.
And Tyler
and Kelly Olynyk.
Oh, it's getting creamy over here.
This is creamy teamy.
You're talking about a 35 win team right here.
Yeah, that could even maybe make the lottery.
Oh, you're going to have to get a lot wider to make the lottery.
I will say the Dallas Mavericks this year have already done the whiteout.
Oh, yeah?
The near,
are you counting Dwight Powell?
Well, the near, they did a 4.5, okay. I think. Dwight Powell, right. You know, yeah. Mixed parents, but...
Well, if we're doing this with the Grizzlies, are we talking, is Dilly Brooks staying?
Oh, is he? Oh, I didn't know that. Mm. I just thought he was Canadian. But they, I think
he played at Vanderbilt, right?
The Mavs have Oregon.
Sorry,
no, the Mavs have rolled out the
Dilly Brooks,
JJ Barea, Doug McDermott. I believe they have Kleber in this lineup, but also Nowitzki.
Kleber.
Yeah. So they and that actually, yeah, that lineup's actually played more minutes together than you would think.
You brought up Dylan Brooks, and that brought to mind a song. And luckily, it's not Bob Dylan. It's
Dinklage, Peter Dinklage,
Peter Dinklage,
Peter Dinklage,
Peter Dinklage,
Peter Dinklage.
Game of Scones. All right, guys.
Oh, what's this?
I have, from Power Listener Matt Sullivan,
yes,
the final, well, through April 2nd, 2018, I have our top 10 Ishvorp rankings for the
year. Yes.
I believe our Ishvorp Fantasy League is coming to a close.
Still another brutal 5 days.
Oh,
so many.
We finished our other Fantasy Leagues. Keith and I won each one. Shout out me and Keith. Oh, yeah.
Sorry, listeners.
Oh, yeah. But, guys, I have the top 10 Ishvorp, and I'm going to give you chances to guess players from that top 10 Ishvorps. As soon as you reach three strikes, you will be out. Mm-hmm. Hint, and you can't use this guy, Dylan Brooks came in at 5th.
Wow.
If you seem to be struggling, I will be giving hints, but I think you guys can get some of these. Chuck, I'm going to let you go first.
Patty Mills.
In a stunning turn of events, Patty Mills has slipped out of the top 10.
Oh, no.
Strike for Chuck.
Strike, Chuck.
Sorry.
This guy got injured and abandoned me in the semifinals where I lost.
Mm. Oh.
Wes Matthews?
Wes Matthews coming in strong at 7.
He was so good, and then he left me.
Can we do Lonzo Ball?
We cannot, and no. I don't think Lonzo would come anywhere close.
No.
Well, that's hard to say.
A lot of counting stats for Lonzo.
He gets those stats and steals, which will kill you.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and say Trevor Ariza.
Oh, no. That's last year, my friend. That's last year.
I know he still plays a ton of minutes.
The king of Ishvorp from last year.
And misses a ton of shots.
You guys, I mean, you're missing out on some guys that we've talked about all year. Although, the top 10 has really changed. But two guys have stayed around there all year. You need a hint, Chuck?
Yeah.
Vacuum cleaner. Or sexual euphemism.
I also, Chuck, have no idea what that means.
The steamer.
Stanley Johnson.
There it is.
Wait, how is that a vacuum cleaner?
Stanley steamer.
The steamer.
But that's a carpet
cleaner.
No,
that was a horrible hint.
Oh,
that's
sorry.
A really bad hint.
Don't do a lot of cleaning.
Yeah, I don't think you do.
But I did throw in that Cleveland steamer, though.
Hoover?
And you know about that euphemism,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, I do like Cleveland
All right.
steamer.
I'm counting that for Chuck. Keith, do you need a hint?
Fair. Yeah, I'll take a hint.
All right. He would make an excellent stretch five for a wideout team. And if his name portends to be true, can fly and breathe fire.
Oh, yeah. Dragon Bender.
I'm counting that.
Okay.
Worst game is coming.
Would
down.
You like a hint?
I do. I would love a hint, John.
His nickname involves cigarettes.
Frank Nicotine.
There you go.
There you go.
Frank Nicotine finishing the top 10
coming in 9th in Ishvorp. Dragon Bender, by the way, was 4th. Are you ready, Keith?
Yeah, I'll take another hint. Are we out of hints?
Here we go. You ready?
Yeah.
Fill in the blank. Mach blank Juden es verboten.
I know this one. Can I steal?
Yeah, go ahead, Chuck.
Tony Snell.
That's right, Chuck. All right, Keith, you got to give me 2. Tony Snell, 10th in the Ishvorp rankings.
Oh, that's great.
All right, you ready for a hint?
Yeah. These hints
always goes to his right.
Always goes to his right?
Does he play with another player on this top 10?
Let's just say that he has a really weird way of spelling his name, which he shares with a famous pederast.
The connections in John's brain.
That's right. This is more about me than it is you.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know that. I don't know.
Jared Bayless.
Oh.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I don't.
You could.
Let's just move on.
This is right. Same name as Jared Fogle.
Oh, Fogle. I thought you were saying like
two strikes
Skip
apiece.
Bayless right. was.
Ah, he could be. all right, Chuck. You need a hint. Mm-hmm. Let's give it to you. My least favorite NBA player.
Paul Pierce?
Active NBA player.
Your least favorite NBA player.
Also, potentially the ugliest man who ever lived.
Who is
His
this?
Last name is the opposite of what he is. He's really good at flopping and not so good at three-point shooting.
Marcus Smart.
That's correct. Chuck wins. Well, he doesn't win.
No,
he
please.
Moves on.
I was going to say
sixth.
Mercifully ended.
Sixth. We still have two players left.
I'm always really disturbed how much John's like, this is my least favorite player, and he's ugly. Like, so much of all of John's like dislikes in NBA.
Hint
like,
for one of the last two. This, we haven't named the second or the third. Stanley Johnson was first. Second or third, I'll give you, both of these guys have abbreviated first names. You can take either one.
Oh.
They use their initials.
Oh. How about CJ Miles?
Oh, you somehow missed it. That's three strikes for Keith. Coming in third is JR the Plumber Smith.
Oh, of course.
And PJ Tucker.
PJ Tucker.
Oh, I wouldn't have guessed
so
that.
So that finally gives you 10th, Tony Snell. 9th, Frankie Smokes. 8th, Jared Bayless. 7th, Wesley Matthews. 6th, Marcus Ugly Smart. 5th, Dylan Brooks. 5th, Dragon Bender. 3, the Plumber, 2, PJ, and 1, the Stanley Steamer. Thanks again, Matt Sullivan,
can we
for
just,
supplying these
ish for great rankings. Job, Matt Sullivan. This advanced metrics for awfulness in the NBA is, you know, this is the
it's
only place
blood.
You can get it.
It's our lifeblood.
I just want to mention, earlier in the year, we were talking heavy about the Ishforp and who was just destroying. And it was Josh.
It was your boy.
Josh Richardson.
Yeah.
I have a game of scones.
Oh,
about,
another one.
About players with the last name Richardson. But it's really easy, and I'm only going to ruin it if I make it a game of scones. So here's how it goes. There's been one position that players with the last name Richardson have
shooting
played.
Shooting guard.
And they have all played shooting guard.
And there's never been another Richardson?
At any other position.
What about the guy from Deadwood?
Richardson! Account for yourself!
So it wasn't really a game of scones, but that is the as a piece of just information. That
who was Richardson's from Deadwood's favorite NBA team?
Oh, the Bucks,
of course. Yeah. Thank you, John.
Pray to your sovereign Lord for all the good it'll do you. I'm not doing my correct JF Sebastian voice.
It's fine. It's in the wheelhouse.
Where are we? That was. Let's Ballpark. Say that wraps up this
I
week's
made your eyes.
Croissant.
You next to six?
Questionnaire. If you want to submit your own question to the Croissant Questionnaire or join next year's International Stackhouse of Pancakes Negative Fantasy League for Pride and Glory over at Fantrax.com, the only way to do that is to become a Patreon supporter. Go to patreon.com/fastbreakbreakfast. Join the other hardcore listeners who are doing the most they actually can to support our program. We love them all. So if you want to
play games against the creators of this here podcast,
yeah, we're going
to
have
to be too.
We're going to have a playoff pick'em challenge. That's going to be very exciting. So if you still have time to get on that, the winner will get a pretty awesome prize from old Uncle John's prize cabinet, which is not dirty, even though it sounds dirty.
When you
say it that way. But anyway, if you want to get on the new playoff games, if you want to get the bonus content we put up at patreon.com/fastbreakbreakfast, if you want to join the Slack chat where we talk about everything around the clock, you can do all that at patreon.com/fastbreakbreakfast. Also, gentlemen, if you're looking to transform your shaving experience, might I recommend the Harry's Shave Kit. You can get one at harrys.com/fastbreak. Harry's understands it's a big deal when you trade your razor in. So to help you transfer, they will give you a free trial set, a $13 value when you use our code FASTBREAK. They know a great shave comes down to great blades, made with sharp, durable steel that lasts. The overall cost is roughly $2 per blade, which is going to be way less than the $4 or more you'll pay anywhere else. So to get this $13 value trial set for free, go to harrys.com/fastbreak. Again, they're so confident you'll love it. If you sign up and you don't like it, they have a 30-day money-back guarantee. But hey, the trial set, it's yours to keep. Man. That's what I got. That's why I took this
Those
beautiful mustache.
Those blades last forever.
Get that Carlos Boozer hairless look.
Yeah.
Although, again, they don't recommend for the top of the scalp. They're perfect. They're ergonomically designed for the face.
They're worried about that, like, you know, that Most Bates thing, nicking one of those. You don't want to get any of those.
Nicks.
Whatever those are.
Nicks. So redeem your trial set at harrys.com/fastbreak. Let them know that we sent you. Once again, harrys.com/fastbreak.
Stranger head appendage. Most Bates thing or Rasheed Wallace thing?
I love the Rasheed Wallace, like, white dot on his hair.
Does that have a texture he has to shave around?
I doubt it. It's probably just a pigmentation.
Seems like a burn. Because no hair never grew there.
No, it grew there. It was just white.
You're right. Mm-hmm.
Harrys.com/fastbreak. All right. Steak and eggs, best thing. It's the best thing you saw in the last week.
Gold in them thar hills. Golden nuggets, boys. We're doing it.
You believe in the Denver Nuggets?
I don't believe in the Denver Nuggets. They're getting really lucky. They won a game like when they need the Thunder, Wolves, Pelicans, Clippers all to lose at the same time. They made it happen. Their Easter performance was the luckiest thing you'll ever see.
That was the best resurrection from the dead on Easter since.
Wow. Jokic has risen, y'all. Jokic has risen. Willing them.
The Bucks collapse.
From the death.
Was one of the great collapses of an NBA game I think I've ever seen.
And while that was happening, every team the Nuggets needed to lose lost.
They still, I don't know, I mean, like, it's the most Nuggets thing ever to have this miracle be handed to you and then blow it again.
Right.
And it really felt like, wow, every team lost you needed to lose, and then you blew it by losing to the Bucks. But then again, what did they score? It was a 20-6 run to end regulation. And again, the turnover with 2 seconds left, the foul and the three-pointer. Man.
I'm really looking forward to it. I hate to give away my far fadeaway, but Nuggets are completely in control of their own destiny. They play the Timberwolves twice in the next, like, 8 or 9 days.
Yeah, 5 games left, and they play the Timberwolves
the
twice.
The Pelicans have lost 4 in a row.
The Pelicans, who had that 94% win probability, or playoff probability, down to 63%, according to 538. Since Paul Millsap's return on March 2nd, Nuggets have the best offensive rating in the NBA. So, again, the blaming Millsap narrative never really quite made sense.
He's so good.
There is, like, when you watch them, there, especially right when he came back, there did seem to be a lot of forcing the ball to him.
Yeah.
But I guess that's part of the process, and I'm not trying to give Mike Malone credit here, I promise. But that's part of the process of working him back in. I still don't think we really should be praising the Nuggets too much. Everyone else is failing. They're only 5-5.
Everyone's failing.
In the last 10.
You have to recognize also the Nuggets are playing without Gary Harris, who is so important to their team.
We call him Garris around these parts.
Garris. That's right. And again, most of their games are still on the road. I don't think they're going to make it. But man, Timberwolves and Pelicans fans are petrified.
So you think the Pelicans have got it over them?
I mean, the Pelicans are the most likely to fall out. It's harder for
then
the Timberwolves
to fall
out.
That would put the Nuggets in, right?
Yeah. I think right now the Nuggets are a game behind the Pelicans, who, again, have lost 4 straight. The Pelicans get to play our Memphis Grizzlies, I think, next. So, you know, they have a chance to win more games. It's really going to come down, I don't know. I think if the Nuggets make it in, that means the Pelicans don't get in.
The Nuggets' schedule is not easy. Hard. However, three of their 5 games have real concrete standings ramifications. The aforementioned double Timberwolves showdown, and then the Clippers.
And they also won that miracle game against the Thunder. So it's just like, can the Nuggets win 5 more coin flips?
Right, and they are all coin flips. But I mean, it's interesting because you look at who the Pelicans play, and honestly, every game with the Pelicans is a coin flip except for the Suns. I mean, Grizzlies to me.
Right.
Although the Pelicans have always been a Grizzlies.
Although this will be the deciding game in the. Riverboat captain's belt for pride and glory. No, wait, for pride and dominion of Mississippi. I'm getting my prides mixed up with the eye shop.
It's very easy to say that, okay, the Pelicans' schedule road is so much easier. I don't think so, because the Pelicans, to me, have two absolute losses against the Warriors and the Spurs. So that's absolutely going to be losses to me.
And also the Thunder might find themselves in this playoff race because they this week play the Rockets and the Warriors.
Right.
So if they lose both those games, I believe they will match all the other teams at the bottom in losses, with 35 losses. It's going to be great.
Yeah, two games separate 4-9 in the West. And that's like, it's chaos right now. We
Everyone's
have no idea
throwing
what's
coins
happen.
To a wishing well right now.
It's beautiful. So my steak and eggs is tangentially related to that Western Conference playoff race. My favorite thing is what Marc Gasol did in Utah against the Utah Jazz. A throwback, you're going to need a bigger boat, Mark the Shark performance.
28 points.
11 for 12 from the field. 6 of 7, a career high.
In 3 quarters.
Made 3-pointers in 23 minutes. 28 points, a beautiful, classic performance. Give me hope for next year, Mark Gasol. That's my favorite thing. I don't think there's anything else to this story.
Okay, you don't want to talk about, you don't want to read that final chapter?
Well, I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, they played a 33-year-old, the designated 23 minutes. They were going to play him. She got us 28 points. That's all there is to the story.
Shredding the best defensive center in the game.
Oh, he was lighting up poor Rudy Gobert.
Ooh. This is some real tank commandering.
So some people were getting a little worked up, Chuck, that why did he not go back in this one possession game in the fourth quarter when he was 11 for 12 from the field? He'd already played his minutes, Chuck. What's the big deal?
I don't get it.
Quoth Bickerstaff, want to see my young guys.
Trying to get that tick. Trying to get those youngsters getting that minutes.
People, when you can put in the likes of a prison lunch lady like Deontay Davis, you have to take that opportunity.
You gotta see you gotta see what Marquise Teague and Ivan Rabb combinations.
Broccoli Rabb.
Working on that.
I feel like Marshawn Brooks could play some five in this scenario.
Well, Joe Ingles hadn't hurt him with that dirty play. But people were real worked up about this, calling it disgraceful. This in-game tank. I'll tell you what,
if they're so worked up about it, I agree with them that their teams shouldn't do it and should let our team continue to do it solely.
I can't get the narrative that he got yanked, I disagree with. He didn't go back in. That's a different word than yanked.
And it's restriction.
It wasn't like he hit two in a row or three in a row and they took him. They ended his third quarter stint early. He played like almost the whole third quarter like he normally would. They just didn't put him back in. So that's not yanked.
I love the mental gymnastics Keith does as a anti-tanker for what is happening in the Memphis organization.
Exactly. So like, again, I'm usually opposed to tanking.
Except
but I do
the Grizzlies.
No, but in-season tanking, it's a dirty part of the business we have to do.
We do have to do
it. In this situation, it honestly didn't feel that strange to me. Marc Gasol was angry about it, but like, it was obvious they were going to put him back in. They didn't put him back in the game before against the Trailblazers where they won. He sat out the entire fourth quarter and they won anyway. So I thought it was funny how worked up people got. Like, this was the final straw. This was truly dishonorable.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't get there.
Breaking tanking news. And this is very problematic for fans of the Grizzlies and the Mavericks, because this guy's been getting some tick and has been helping the Mavericks be a little bit better. Nerlens Noel suspended 5 games for a week.
Oh, he's the last time he's playing in Dallas. He's never going to play there again.
Oh, yeah. He's done.
Yeah.
He and Thabo both suspended for getting high.
I don't know much about weed, but it does feel like both Nerlens and Thabo could be names of like different strains.
Ooh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll take a Nerlens. I'll take a Thabo.
Yeah. Give that indica.
You got any Cephalosh?
Trying to get that Doja, Cephadoja.
Cephakush. Does that work? Yeah, I guess not.
If you put Kush on the end of almost anything, you've made it pretty weedy.
Yeah, weedy. You gotta have your Wheaties.
Yeah.
So here's my best thing.
Breakfast of Champions.
Grant Hill, Jason Kidd, Steve Nash on the Hall of Fame for 2018. Pretty cool. All Phoenix Suns.
Oh, yeah.
All Cosby sweater wearing goofuses.
So this confirms my suspicions that the Suns are the greatest franchise in the history of the NBA.
The Suns, so like, if you made like an NBA Jam or an NBA Live 2K, what are the kids playing now?
Whatever. NBA, 2K.
Yeah, if you took all the players from their history, they do they can build a very exciting
a really
roster.
Really fun roster.
I'll take Antonio McDice on mine. It's like a seventh man.
I really liked Mari Stoudemire for 2 years.
Yeah,
he was like the best player in the NBA for a year and a half.
I hate to tell you this, but Antonio McDice doesn't sniff an all-time Suns roster.
Yeah, probably not.
He's got Barkley, and they got some really good players. They just can't get a championship. Yeah,
Kevin Johnson, Dan Marley coming off deep off the bench.
Tom Chambers
with his neck.
I mean, yeah.
Mark Jackson's neck.
We can't fit McD.
Jason Kidd.
Ooh, Jason Kidd.
I mean, I guess he's part of the Hall of Fame class, but
yeah, he is.
I'm just getting excited about him again. Wesley
Here's
Person.
A question. Cedric Sabalas.
Oliver Miller. Come on. Wait.
That 93 NBA Finals with Suns and Bulls really had a lot of like present-day NBA dumbasses in it, didn't it? Yeah. Michael Jordan, Hornacek.
Mm-hmm.
Some good dumbasses in there.
Really stupid people.
All right. Well, those were our steak and eggs.
John Paxson hit that three-pointer. He is a dumbass.
The opposite of steak and eggs is cream of wheat. What is your cream of wheat worst thing?
We've been, Dwight Howard, we talked a couple weeks ago. He's a Hall of Famer, shoo-in Hall of Famer. But he's been playing like a bonehead this year. He's had great games, a 30 and 30. But here's some stats that Dwight Howard leads the league in this year. Okay, by leads the league, I mean is dead last. He is the worst player for offensive fouls, 3 second violations, technicals, gold tens, stepping out of bounds turnovers, and travels. Leads the league, number one. Best player, worst player, whatever.
Stepping out of bounds?
The turnovers that were created by stepping out of bounds.
That's hilarious.
Is Dwight Howard.
So
he's been playing in the league. What's his season? It's like his 12th season or something.
If I knew that off the top of my head.
I believe Detroit. When did RoboCop try to save Detroit? he's been around for a long time.
I mean, he's still playing incredibly as far as like his stats, numbers in the 30-30
game just a minute ago.
Shaq never had 12 plus rebounds at this age, but he's
Shaq would still be playing himself into shape around this time of year, I think.
He would be, 100%.
My worst thing goes back almost 10 days, but it's still current in the news with the Kawhi Leonard situation. My worst thing is the Tony Parker comments from a little over a week ago when Tony Parker noted one of the worst teammates ever.
Right.
Really attacking Kawhi Leonard, saying he had the exact same...
I've never bitten my tongue this hard in my life.
He said he had the exact same injury as Kawhi, but 100 times worse. And he already rehabbed, and the San Antonio doctors are the best ever. So he's questioning Kawhi Leonard's whatever.
Tony
motivations.
Tony Parker cheated on Eva Longoria. I don't trust any words he says. Yeah. He also speaks with a French accent. Don't trust any words he says.
Yeah, so the Spurs situation, very, very strange. Kawhi Leonard, who has escaped to New York now, working with different rehab doctors. I assume he's never playing for the Spurs again?
This is all nonsense.
Is it all nonsense, Chuck?
It's not going to happen. Name a great player that has left San Antonio. Name one. Do it.
What?
Okay, you can't.
What are you talking about?
No one has ever... Tim Duncan flirted with going to Orlando to play with Grant Hill.
They almost traded.
But name one that has left.
Well, I'm trying to think. Who are the great players? It's like five.
Yeah, so
you got
Parker.
About a huge history.
You got Parker. You got David Robinson. You got Duncan. You got Kawhi. You got Ginobili. Those players, they know how to keep stars.
I'm not following your precedent. Those guys weren't stars until they became all...
And Kawhi was a star when he came to the league? No, he was created by Popovich and that system. He's not leaving San Antonio. It's a nonsense idea.
Would you
to
wager money on this?
This is something, I mean, whatever. I'm going by what, big picture, looking at that franchise, how it's operated and run. If there's an issue, it's only because they want him back
They had never signed a big-name free agent until they signed
LaMarcus Aldridge, who tried to leave
a couple years ago. So I think the precedent thing is weird for a team that
Haven't had that many superstars either.
I mean, they've had one pretty much since the mid-90s.
David
Tim
Thorpe.
Duncan.
I mean, David
Robinson.
Again, superstar seems strong. I know Ginobili's going to the Hall of Fame.
Tim Duncan's the only one.
Yeah.
I mean, they're stars. They're best players.
All right.
They keep them.
David Thorpe suggested ESPN. This is ESPN? I don't even know. David Thorpe.
This sounds like the type of stuff that got you burned when you thought LeBron was staying forever.
That's
this
a different like, situation.
This sounds like sad child.
This is a different
Daddy
situation.
Will never leave
David
me,
Thorpe
so.
Suggested this random
Bad
trade.
Bad things happen.
Kawhi Leonard and Patty Mills to the Wizards for Brad Beal, Satoransky, Oubre, maybe a pick. I kind of like that deal a lot. I'm definitely on team breakup Beal and Wall no matter what.
Right.
I think Beal, Satoransky, and Oubre would be incredible on the Spurs.
Beal and Pop would be terrifying. Oubre, too, really.
I'm saying.
It'd be fun. But
Oubre has made like one three-pointer in the past like
what
two
is it?
Months.
Is he he's like one? He's like one for his last 29
it's
or
really
something?
Insane.
But I don't know. I think it obviously could happen, but I just don't think it will. It just That's doesn't fair. Make sense that Popovich would do anything to lose that caliber of player.
Did you ever think that Popovich would be sitting here in this situation now with Popovich, where his best player is refusing to play for him?
This is also something that is making me scratch my head. I don't understand it.
The doctors have cleared him to play, and he's not playing.
That's kind of crazy to me.
Yeah, it's very crazy.
It's kind of already. The car has already crashed.
Maybe he. Maybe
we're in the repair phase.
Maybe there's some sort of internal, process that's happening that we don't know about. Maybe Popovich is on the way out, and there's whispers in the organization that Pop's leaving as far as from the head coaching position, and Kawhi's like, well, look, I don't know if I'm going to trust any of these coaches other than Popovich to run this team. So that could be an issue, and it could be the reason why he's kind of holding out. There's a lot of, there's a book full of stuff that we don't know about.
It appears to me that what little we thought we knew about Kawhi Leonard was not correct.
That's right.
That we just don't know anything.
We don't know anything. Listen to our podcast.
I have been listening around, or driving around listening to, All My Life.
Casey and JoJo?
Yes, because my JoJo has had his eyeball knocked out of his face.
Oh, no.
And I talked about it already, but I'm still pretty devastated about Embiid's injury and the ramifications it's having on my enjoyment of this season.
Baby.
I mean, it shouldn't affect the Sixers' seeding very much.
No.
We don't think. And they honestly might prefer to play, like, I think their ideal matchup might be to be home court as the four and host the Pacers as the five, another team without much playoff experience in this current iteration.
Yeah.
Like, even though the Wizards have been bad, and again, the everybody eats Wizards is a thing of long past. They started losing so many games without John Wall. And so, like, you look at the Wizards having more talent maybe than the Pacers on paper, so maybe that'd be a scarier matchup. I don't know. But so maybe it'll work out for the Sixers and it won't matter at all.
They could very easily lose their home court advantage, which is huge for the Sixers.
No, they definitely need that first round.
They needed to get as high as they could, honestly, to make a deep run. And it's going to be harder. And honestly, we have no idea how much this injury will affect him.
However, again, arguing about the deep run for the Sixers,
right?
I think the four seed is a very good place to be.
It is.
Because you avoid... Assuming the Cavaliers stay at the three, mm-hmm. I still think if you want to make a deep run, you want to play LeBron as late as possible.
Yeah.
I'd really like to play a team like, say, the Wizards.
Yeah.
I'd really like to play a team like the Bucks.
Well, sure. But then second round, I mean, I am all for if I'm the Sixers, if I'm a Sixers fan,
right.
Give me the Pacers first round. Give me the Raptors or even the Celtics second round. Like, let's see if the Raptors can do it in the playoffs.
I'd much rather play the Cavs than the Raptors or the Celtics.
Well, really?
That's where we're very, very different.
Yeah,
yeah, I guess so.
I'm so frightened by LeBron. All right, full stop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the only thing to be frightened of on that team.
It is. And I know, like, this is all, like, historical kind of, like, frightenings, but it's not anything I think that is irrational. LeBron is still the best player in the league, and he's gonna and definitely
they're finally on a hot run, but the teams they have beaten on that hot run are trash.
Yeah.
Complete trash.
I think the big worry for Sixers fans is if you lose your first round playoff series to the Pacers, does it kind of invalidate a lot of the optimism and the the parades they were throwing for themselves.
I think the Pacers are a terrible matchup for the Sixers.
Yeah.
And I think the Pacers without Embiid, or the Sixers without Embiid, will get smoked by the Pacers.
Yeah. Despite, you know, the matchup of the Pacers wanting, like, forcing turnovers and the Sixers loving to give up turnovers,
right. Yeah.
I still think Pacers are a team I don't trust. I don't trust Oladipo. Even though his drought is over, he's been on fire the last few games, I would still think they're an easier matchup. Anyway, let's move to Hassan Whiteside, cocks it back to Waffle House presents Scattered, Smothered, Covered Thoughts. Just a few other things. What are we seeing that's going on in the league?
Man, Hassan Whiteside, he's gone, bro.
What's wrong with your boy?
You don't talk smack about the organization. He wasn't getting fourth quarter tick. He, you know, lashed out immediately within a day or two, walked it all back. But he's gone, bro.
Think so?
Ah, man. You don't piss off the Godfather.
Where could the Heat's fourth best center possibly go with that contract?
Here, that is the thing. And this was something when he was coming up on having to re-sign, I was kind of worried about, because he needed a lot of money. He earned a lot of money. He had put up the numbers that required a big contract. But I never saw him as a centerpiece for the franchise. He never seemed like a player that I wanted to bet it all on.
Can I ask you a few questions?
Sure.
After saying that, yes, you did see him as a centerpiece, you liar.
I did.
But but
in Chuck's defense, he discovered him.
I discovered him.
But do you think the Heat missed a big opportunity when they could have traded him?
This was something that I thought was inevitable come close to the trade deadline, but I don't think they could have got anything near what they wanted for him.
I really like this Heat team, and it's not just the rebranding.
Yeah.
But I feel like if they could have gotten something for Whiteside, that would have been really cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, maybe they play so much better without him on the floor.
Here's the
thing. It's like night and day. During
the regular season, when the pace is a little faster, he isn't as valuable. But I think when the game slows down and their defense, which is, I think, built for a playoff matchup, whenever, you know, there's less shots and the pace is slower, he might be a little bit more valuable in a series against a team like Philly or the Pacers.
I think the issue is I don't see anywhere that would trade for him.
Nobody, right. I don't think anybody.
He's got a max contract for more years.
And he's a knucklehead.
Knucklehead.
Yeah, so, well, I think now it's dead, but I feel like there was a window.
Yeah, but even during the season when we were approaching the trade deadline, Kelly Olynyk was getting all of the tick in the fourth quarter.
No, could they not have traded him to the Wizards?
That would have been dope.
Just gotten some trash back.
Yeah.
Jason Smith and Gortat.
Yeah.
I bet Gortat would crush.
He would be so good.
You guys would almost be on your way to a cream team, too.
Man,
it would
have been nice.
In Miami. this could have been an apology of mine. The Detroit Pistons with Reggie Jackson this year, 25-15.
Wow.
They would be very much in the playoff hunt. It would be the Bucks in the Heat.
We just decided to stay in cream of wheat worst of week with the teams we're talking about. The
really
situations
are, yeah.
We're talking about.
As much as I kind of doubted the Pistons, and I still feel like they're going nowhere, it really came down to Reggie Jackson's health. Like sometimes guest on our show, Duncan Smith, has always pointed out that they play well when Reggie Jackson is there. And once again, yeah, 25-15 this year with Reggie Jackson.
Can you guys explain the Blazers trailblazing billboard situation to me?
They just posted a billboard saying LeBron or Dame. LeBron, Dame needs a third option.
Yeah.
Yusuf Twerkic is right chair, y'all. Come on.
Blazer boy.
You mean
disrespective.
You mean Zach Collins?
I love all them Blazers.
I did see a couple people adding trailblazing saying like, this is disrespectful to our roster.
Evan Burner Turner.
It's like, guys, come on now.
Sixth man of the year.
It's disrespectful to LeBron James and LeBron James only.
And whatever.
Like, that is the only person.
Whatever Plumlee's there.
Is that how you woo?
Yeah, billboards.
What's the point? That's just
funny.
So good.
Tossing money into the ocean, which I'm a fan of.
Yeah. I used to live on a houseboat.
Yeah. They raised money for a billboard. It's pretty funny that it actually happened.
I don't know.
That's enough irony out of you, Portland.
Yeah, you guys have enough fixed wheel bicycles.
You have a
fixed
gear. You've put a bird on enough things. I guess the one thing I want to talk about before we move on is so all the awards races are decided now, right?
Pretty much.
These stories have sorted themselves out.
As in the social media age happens.
Right. Well, I don't even think.
Well,
like,
I think everyone
last year it went further. No one could challenge Harden, right? Because I think Davis's fall. The Pelicans fall is killed.
Yeah,
down.
Yeah, that was a fun 1 week.
Brad
story.
Stevens just went, oh, you don't think I'm coach of the year? Look at this.
Yeah,
I watch think so. This.
Right.
Defensive player of the year, I think Embiid getting hurt anoints Rudy Gobert.
Yep.
Draymond Green's not having the year he usually does.
Right.
Sixth man of the year, if you argue anyone other than Lou Williams, that's pretty weird.
Sixth man is one that I haven't even thought about.
I mean, he's averaging 23 points a game off the bench. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Should have been an all-star. You know, it just, I can't remember all the races being so cold, you know, just.
And rookie of the year, I think, is finally yeah. switched to Ben Simmons.
Yeah. I mean, it's over.
Donovan Mitchell did have that stretch, that moment where he was like 24 a game. I still think it's closer than most people are saying. I think I still argue that the offensive load scoring wise right. that Mitchell has to do is maybe more important. But I mean, obviously,
I think this Embiid injury is arguing, going to cancel out. I think it's going to be the nail in the coffin of the argument.
Yeah, and he's putting up great stats again against horrible competition.
Right.
a fun stat. In the month of March, overall, plus minus of all NBA players, not just rookies.
Right.
Ben Simmons was first in the entire NBA in plus minus in March. Donovan Mitchell was third.
Nasty.
And Donovan Mitchell honestly played a harder schedule. But I do think, yes, Ben Simmons has won it. He's like a baby LeBron. I mean, he's like the same kind of cut of player.
Yeah.
Just incredible what he's doing.
So there's something cool happened. This is, I think, the beginning of the end for the NCAA. Yeah, coming ahead. Darius Bazley decommits from Syracuse and becomes the first top high school prospect to choose turning professional in the G League. So for those of you who don't know how this works, you still have to be a year removed from high school. You have to be 19. You cannot, if you're in the G League, be called up to the NBA to play. Once his year with the G League, whoever he chooses to play for, is over.
I'm confused how he ends up on a team. I don't think he gets to choose, but I don't know. Anyway,
he gets to sign with whatever G League team he wants.
Okay. Whatever happened to the good old days when players had to play 4 years or go to China to play in order to get an NBA?
So this is all, it's very complicated, but it is, as you know, obviously, with the Final Four just happening, and I watched 0 minutes of it.
Somewhere, Jim Boeheim is making hot farts in his pants.
I watched the end of the women's Final Four.
That was a great... I watched some of that.
I watched, like, the last minute of both those games. They were incredible.
Yeah.
You guys would have enjoyed the Final Four just to see how one team has decided to embrace the NBA way of life, and it has resulted in the other teams getting summarily smoked.
Mm-hmm. I did have some confusion trying to find the NCAA championship game. It's on TBS.
Yeah, right after Search Party.
Yeah, I didn't know.
You watch WCW Thunder, and you watch Search Party, and you watch a couple Braves games, 3-4 Braves games.
Yep. Maddox was on fire.
Yeah. Definitely had no idea what number TBS was in my cable package.
It's between Braves and the Expos and Matlock. this is really easy.
But I think it's great. It's the first blow in the death of the NCAA and its slave trade.
It really seems like, well, however many millions of dollars that the NBA put into building their 2K league, which maybe that will blow up and bring in lots of extra eyes and revenue, but I know they've invested, I don't know, hundreds of millions of dollars, it seems like, in the 2K league. It seems like maybe they should have put, I don't know, half that in an infrastructure of building up their G League to embrace all these players.
No, they're, I don't know.
But they have
esports are kind of a big deal.
Esports are huge, but esports fans do not care about 2K.
Well, there has to be some sort of transition because there's no question there's like backroom handshake deals between the NCAA and the NBA about as far as why there's a one and done system.
Certainly.
There's got, you know, this isn't something that, you know, wasn't agreed upon years ago, at least with David Stern. So that, you know, this transition is going to take time. There's moneyed interest. There's conspiratorial, backroom Illuminati-esque happenings. So this move, a player choosing to do this, gives me hope that we're not going to be using free labor for multi-billion-dollar organizations anymore.
It will be.
You are no Sister Jean, Chuck. if you had this nun staring you down, I think you'd be humming a different tune.
I hate nuns.
Catholic Chuck does.
Catholic Chuck hates nuns.
All right, let's move to the awards segment of the program, the International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award, given each week to the worst performance in a box score. Got a strange week here. Several nominees, only a couple honorable mentions. Honorable mention, Andrew Wiggins, 4 for 17. Future Grizzly Chris Middleton, 4 for 18. And LeBron James, yes, the LeBron James, 5 for 21. A rare appearance in the International Stackhouse of Pancakes.
Almost never on this. So these are nominees?
Honorable mentions.
So those are honorable mentions. We have a very confusing 5 nominees as they occurred chronologically through the week. C.J. McCollum, 3 for 19 in a win against the Pelicans.
So close.
3 for 19, 7 points, 4 boards, 5 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks, 3 turnovers, no personal fouls, maybe try on defense. Jabari Parker, 1 for 12, loss against the Clippers, 2 points, 1 rebound, 2 assists, 3 steals, 1 block, 2 turnovers, personal foul. Frank Mason.
Rock chalk.
Yeah, 1 for
13. He looked like the world's tiniest predator.
1 for 13 in a loss against the Mavericks. 8 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, a block, turnover, 3 personal fouls. Nick Vucevic, also 3 for 19 in the Magic's incredible race up the reverse standings. Lost to 3 straight teams in the back 9. Impressive stuff. He was 10 points, 14 rebounds, 3 assists, an impressive 2 steals, 3 blocks, no turnovers, 2 personal fouls. And then Kelly Oubre, who, as John said earlier, has only made one of his last 40? I don't know. Oh, he hasn't hit a shot in a while. He was 2 for 14. Against the Hornets, 9 points, 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals, 1 block, 1 turnover, 2 personal fouls. There's so many. I printed them out to be in front of you, Chuck and John.
As much as I want to reward Kelly Oubre for his masterful performance, and I want to give it to Vucci Main because his nightmarish performance pretty much gifted me the field goal category.
3 blocks, and 14 assists.
In our 14 rebounds. For fantasy rebounds. League yeah. Against aforementioned Matt Sullivan. I got to give it to C.J. McCollum. That's a terrible box score. I really like the 0 personal fouls. I love that.
3 turnovers.
I'm going CJ.
Somehow they won that game. For me, it comes down to
gentrification.
Frank Mason, impressive 1 for 13. We don't see a lot of 1 for 13s.
No.
And CJ McCollum. I think I'm going to lean CJ McCollum 3 for 19.
I'm CJ McCollum. Well.
Yeah.
Frank Mason, you know, filled it up otherwise, probably in somewhat limited minutes.
For as much as I want to be, you know, unanimous here, I think C.J. McCollum is kind of trash. Jabari Parker, man.
Two points,
1 rebound, 2 assists.
They didn't need to worry when Giannis got hurt. They got Jabari.
1 of 12. Like, that is bad. That's my personal. That just looks gnarly.
It's trash.
It's a good vote. So, C.J. McCollum, congratulations. You are this week's International Stackhouse of Pancakes champion. And also, by the way, I asked, I slid into Brent Berry DMs. To ask him, just, hey, in a vacuum, what do you think is worse as far as the shooting line? And I said, 1 for 11, 2 for 15, 3 for 19, or 4 for 23. Because this, I feel like we come down to this a lot.
Yeah.
Like, is it worse to be 1 for 11, or is it worse to be like 4 for 23 or something? He said 4 for 23. He said, in his reasoning, again, in a vacuum with no other context, he said, because if you're missing that many shots, someone else should be shooting those shots at that point.
Right.
It was good to get started,
that's where I sit always on these.
Unless you started like, you know, 4 for 9 or something and then just went cold, or 3 for 9 and just went cold.
That's worse to me.
Yeah.
I think.
I think it all depends on when the misses start.
Because I like the idea that like you go 4 for 9
yeah.
and then you went cold.
Yeah.
Like 4 for 9. That ain't great, dog. All right. Par fadeaway before we get out of here. Par fadeaway, wrap it into a Grizz epilogue. Par fadeaway, what things are we looking forward to?
I've said it before, but I'm really excited about Nuggets playing Wolves twice. That's going to be my thing. That's my little gauntlet.
It's going to be the playoffs. I hope it's still in play for the last
game. I'm so rooting for the Nuggets, not only because I like the Nuggets more. I think Tibbs missing the playoffs would be hilarious. It would
be kind of great.
They would get to keep their lottery pick.
Oh.
That's great. You can keep your lottery pick and fire Tibbs.
Tibbs, the Nuggets are, what, the 29th in defense the last 2 years combined, I think?
That's a slap in Tibbs' face so many ways.
Especially, man, the roster building. We got to fix the roster. So many good players. I'm looking forward to what I'd like to describe as the sweet release of the playoffs. I know I love the NBA, but man, like having the NCAA basketball night when there's no league pass games to watch.
Yeah, what did you do?
I know I'm going to miss them. When they're gone, I'm going to miss them. But right now, when we're in it, I'm looking forward to not having so many games, so I feel like I feel compelled to watch. What did I watch instead of the NCAA basketball game?
Will you parent
game?
Your children?
So my son was actually at the grandparents. Mm. So I just had the baby, which is super easy, as she lies asleep on my shoulder as we speak.
Yes.
No, I actually just flipped around through movies. I didn't even settle on a movie. I watched like 25 minutes of like five different movies.
You league past movies.
I league past movies. It's what I did.
You're an addict.
I did finish, however, earlier in the day, I did finish The Bone Tomahawk with, I had my Amazon remote with me. And when I could tell something I did not want to see was about to happen, just skip forward a couple seconds. I saw a few brief glimpses. It was like Event Horizon where there's little glimpses of things popping up on the screen.
You didn't earn that movie.
I did not.
I don't think you can even say you've seen that movie.
I couldn't, yeah.
In fact, you have not seen Bone Tomahawk.
If I was logging movies, if this is my untapped for movies, yes, I didn't earn full marks.
Bone Tomahawk.
I did not
that's
see
like
all
saying
the
you've
full
seen
gore.
Two Girls, One Cup, but you only saw like one girl in it. You, nothing has happened.
You only saw the part where the cup happened.
Yeah.
But not whatever happened after the cup.
Two girls, one bone tomahawk.
Yeah, I thought when you texted the group about that you were eating a bone-in ribeye.
Oh, it's a
bone-in tomahawk ribeye.
Bone tomahawk sounds like a good place to get a ribeye.
Yeah.
You could name your...
Oh, yeah, your restaurant, Bone Tomahawk.
When you eat a tomahawk steak, you feel like a...
Bone Tomahawk also Orson sounds Wells. like a porn with Native Americans in it.
Onions!
So we got Gordon Haywood. Hayward has started jogging without the help of a boot. So he's looking like he's probably not coming back for the playoffs. But it's something to look forward to for the next season. It solidifies that Brad Stevens kind of like gangster.
Are we allowed to par fadeaway for next year?
I'm doing it.
Go for it. Damn.
I mean, it's the end of the season. There's stuff to look forward to.
Chuck's looking deep.
I mean, you know.
Chuck's a soothsayer.
Here's my par fadeaway for my par fadeaway for next year. And Grizzlies epilogue all wrapped into one. John, I'm going to go ahead and tell you what the 2018-19 Memphis Grizzlies look like.
Do me.
It is Mike Conley, Mark Gasol, Jamichael Green, Dylan Brooks, Wayne Selden, Chandler Parsons, Andrew Harrison, a top seven lottery pick, feel comfortable, a free agent, they sign with their full MLE, maybe Tyreek Evans, Terrell Martin, Ben McLemore, Ivan Rabd, Deontay Davis, a second round pick, and then they'll have one open roster spot for a minimum salaried player. So that is exactly this year's team.
Hope nobody gets hurt.
Plus a lottery pick. Is that team better than, I don't know, the Warriors, the Spurs, the Thunder, the Trailblazers, the Nuggets, the Timberwolves, the Clippers, the Pelicans?
Taking my headset off.
Or the Lakers next year. That's my...
Cool story,
That's my par fadeaway. Anyway, you guys, transform your shaving. Get a free Harry's Shave Kit at harrys.com/fastbreak. Play that draft app. Didn't even mention it. I love it. Draft.com/fastbreak and support our show at patreon.com/fastbreakbreakfast. All right, you guys are the best. Thanks for listening. And remember, breakfast is the most important thing.
Yeah, never apologize for being G&G. Fast break, man. You understand?